Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Go on then, boy. Let's rattle through it. I'm starving.
Welcome to this episode of Flats and Shants podcast. Back in our home ground, Moto Services. Just met a couple of lovely guys, actually, didn't we?
Can't say that. Think about how you think about what you just said. Back at the services, you met a couple of lovely guys.
In Costa.
Yep.
Couldn't actually enjoy my coffee, though, because kept talking.
They accosted us.
Yeah. Wanted to sit back, relax, have a little chat with you about what we're going to talk about, but I mean, they're lovely chaps, but I just couldn't enjoy my coffee.
Yeah, and we spoke a bit about, it's in Bristol, the fella, wasn't he, one of them, and he...
In a high viz, really dirty shoes, looked like he'd been walking around, yeah, outside.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But he, turns out, I've had a selfie with his son before, what a great guy, and...
Said you were best mates.
Yeah, best mates, and he mentioned Semi Rendrandra's car, which I, of course, know about, because I know about cars, and I've been to Ashton Gate when he's driven in his, I don't want to give too much away, but a fully blacked out Mustang. Why not? What a lad. Hopefully, Charles Pietau's number plate.
Hopefully it's got a baby seat in it, just to give it.
Obviously, yeah.
Lose a little bit of credibility.
Yeah, exactly. And Nathan Hughes, big rangy SVR. Like, these boys don't muck about with the cars. Mind you, if you're getting that, if you're getting those big numbers, mate, and you like cars, get amongst it.
It's nice, though. Like, I was enjoying your little chat with one of the guys about second homes in Salcombe and stuff, because,
yeah,
you know, I don't get chats like that in Wales, so it's nice to see how the other half live across the bridge.
Yeah, top half, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it. Thing is, mate, it's one of those things that people like to... people like to hold that sort of thing against a guy. You know, it's all right for you type of conversations, but the reality is, you know, if you invest your money wisely, you can be...
buy low, sell high. That's basically what you're trying to say, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, basically got it really, really, really cheap years ago. That's what I'm trying to say. I couldn't do it now, but it's not now, it's then.
Flats, I couldn't sleep last night. Started to watch the PGA golf. Rory won.
Did he?
Yeah. First time in a couple of years.
Oh, great.
Real difficult final hole as well. He was two shots up and he puts one ball very close to the water. Doesn't really have a lie to hit out. Ends up dropping. A wonderful shot in with an 8-iron. Two putts for a bogey. Wins by one shot. Brilliant. That inspired me because I couldn't sleep. At 1:04 a.m., I bought a new driver online.
Oh, of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
What do you reckon I got?
You probably, knowing you, you probably got one of those Sim 2 Maxes. They're the ones everyone's talking about, aren't they?
They are.
Carbon
they
ones.
They are. I ordered two by accident. I had to cancel one. Ordered the wrong shaft.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Either regular, stiff or extra stiff.
Oh, really? Is that how they come?
Yep. So if you're someone like Bubs, you know, an older man, you go regular shaft. It's got a bit more whip and action. You know, so you don't have to swing the club as fast, but
because he hasn't got the range or the power, has he now?
Neither. But yeah, ordered it, so can't wait for that.
What shaft have you ordered?
It's called a Kura Cage Mitsubishi.
Is it shaft. Extra stiff though?
No, it's stiff.
Stiff is it? Stiff.
Yeah.
Stiff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
My swing speed isn't quite extra stiff yet.
Okay.
But I'm working on that.
I was socially distanced. Do you still have to say that?
Just in case, mate.
I was socially distanced at working the other day. We were working very hard at Mike Tyndall's house. And I don't reveal too much about him because, you know, he's royal and private information, but he's got a golf simulator at his house.
Ah,
mate, and he's got.
Do you ever go?
I did, yeah. I missed it and then hit it, and didn't get very far. But he did a. We couldn't leave the room till he'd driven 300 yards, and he managed it. And he's also got a beer fridge in there.
Carry 300 yards or drove it 300 yards?
It, by the time it stopped rolling, it was 300 yards.
Oh, my God. I thought it'd be bigger than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he struggled to get 300, let me tell you that.
Really?
Yeah, he's battled. He's about his 10th go, and I was like, mate, I've actually got to go.
I should take him for a couple of sessions then, because that's my distance, mate.
I said Shanko always wins the long drive, longest drive competition.
Mm.
And he said you play off 6 or 8, is that right?
Yeah, well... Yeah, right in between 7.
He knows all about you, you see. He's obviously very competitive with you. He thinks you're... What does he play off? I think he's got a better handicap than that, hasn't he?
He might be 5, he might be 4.
He said he's been, excuse the pun, shafted by the new handicap algorithm or something.
Yes, it is. And that is all dependent on the course and how tough the course is. So if you take a handicap off a tougher course...
Yeah.
And someone else takes a handicap off an easier course, then it's not exactly the same, is it? Because if it's a harder course, you're probably going to be better. So,
yeah,
there's a new algorithm. I don't
quite
know.
That's good then.
That's
a good algorithm then.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah. It is good. So all the courses are rated on a difficulty level, basically.
You go, is it like, right, you book a slot with a pro and you say, right, we are setting my handicap today, or do you just like log on and make it up yourself? You
could put some people do that, yeah. Some people, I know a mate, close mate, play golf with most days. That just kept his score on his watch, he reckons, then filled the cards in at home and then got me to sign them. So, well done. but others, myself, just mark a card on the way round, mostly in comps. So if you...
But if you have a crap round, you just don't submit that?
You don't have to. You don't have, in comps, you have to, because it's a competition, so you have to hand in your card. But you can hand in cards at any time you want. You can...
Oh, I had a good round.
But
basically
what you want, though, is a good average of your handicap. So if you just hand in the best cards, you're going to get a low handicap, but then you're not going to win anything because it's not reflective of your actual golf. What else have you hand in?
Yes. The name's complete. Sean Perry, the scrum half.
Yeah.
I heard a rumour once, and Pez, if you listen to this or if someone tells you to listen to it and you hear this, feel free to send me a text and tell me it's wrong. I heard that Pez once won in La Manga or somewhere, a big golf competition. The prize was a luxury SUV for a year from a certain car brand. And I heard that he won it and he bandited it. Like he said, his handicap was way higher than it was, bandited it and won it.
That's the problem you get, though. So if you win prizes, you've actually got to show proper handicap. So there's been loads of people like that. A guy called Jeremy Pughes, play hooker.
Pughesy.
He was playing off 16. He had like these reef sandals with golf grips on the bottom. They were absolutely terrible, worn with socks. And I think he said he was off 16, and then he'd won it, and someone rung his club, and he was actually off something like 10. So loads of boys do it. Most of the rugby boys, their handicap will be 16 to 18. It'd just be something they've made up, something they think is about right.
Yeah.
You know, there's been Gomesall.
Yeah.
Won it one day.
And the bandit?
He had an unbelievable round. He played with a few of my mates and they said he was just on fire, but he had so many points. He was like high 40s on points on Stableford. And they said, that's just not possible, mate, after 3 days on the piss.
Yeah.
You can't be scoring that. He was banned.
Was he?
Yeah. So basically, you've got to come in about low 30s
El
at Stableford regularly.
He's a great
And he might win. Yeah.
I won't have a word said against him.
Anyway, that's great enough. Win. That's enough about golf news. Laurie Cantor will love that.
Why don't you ask me...
what have you bought? Have you bought anything recently?
Bought anything?
Yeah.
Oh,
Do you still buy... Or is everything for free still?
No, I bought... What have I bought? I'm been saving this for you.
Good.
Right. I'm wearing a pair of jeans, right? Oh. I used to wear 40-inch jeans. Then I went to 38. And now I'm on a 36. But I put a couple of kilos back on. So my mate, Hazy, at... So Fit in Bath weighed me this morning and said, sort your life out, get on the rower. So I had to do a 10K row this morning. So 10K's on the rower.
How are the forearms?
Not great. Lower back, not great. But it's good for me because I've put on a couple of kilos again. I'm back up to 122. I was down to 119. I need to get to 115, really, because that's where I'm happiest, apparently, or I will be. So I let myself go for a bit, but that's all right.
Wedding weight.
But I get, yeah, but I get this, these 36 inch jeans, which is great. I can wear 36s, but I have to get them tailored because I've basically got a really big waist, short legs, and my legs are really wide. So Brian jeans is really hard, right?
Yeah. Not the only one though, are you?
No. So then you sent me a link from Instagram that's like Olympus Fit, stretchy jeans for like weightlifters or something. And I was like...
You're back with somersault.
I was like, yeah, I was like, ha ha, lol, lol, lol. Ordered some yesterday. They haven't come yet. I've ordered them.
Are you ordered like the black and white checkered ones?
No. No, but it is genuinely... It is genuinely difficult. Sometimes I have to take a pair of jeans back for two or three fittings.
Yeah.
To get them, because it's just like, I'm just really awkward shape.
And I got quite a few mates about your dap. Maybe not as muscly or as big, but the issue you got then, mate, is that taper jeans are in, okay? Yeah. Bell bottoms are out.
Yep.
But if you've got a 36 inch leg, waist, and you've got like a 28 inch leg.
32.
Then if you get them taken up, they're still going to be a bit flary, aren't they?
Problem is, so you get them taken up a bit, and you then where your ankles are is where the calf's meant to be.
Yep, so it's a straight cut.
So it's you're constantly having them adjusted. But the problem is, if they're too tapered for me, because I was born with them, I've just got freak calves. I actually can't get jeans over my calves.
Do the best you can do. You know when you know every year you go away on your own just to sort of detox, is what you say, to Thailand.
Yeah.
Get a tailor there to do them.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, there's loads of denim there. You can get suits.
Well, I've ordered those Olympus Fit hyper stretches now.
Oh, I'm looking forward to them. You can do like your parkour in them.
I know.
I want to see a video of you squatting in them.
Just doing lunges around the place.
Yeah.
I know. So it's difficult. It's a challenge. It's always a challenge. But God made me this way.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just a way of telling you that I've done a 10K.
Loving the Lord is wrong. Don't want to be right.
What else have I bought? No, nothing interesting, actually. I'll tell you what I did buy. I bought some meat. Mm. I don't buy all of my meat, but I do still buy a lot of meat.
I went on Field of Flour yesterday night. Again, bored, couldn't sleep. And they've got Black Label on there.
Yep.
Ordered a couple of tomahawk pork steaks. Oh, yep. Nice to see you, mate.
Oh, yeah.
I ordered a herb stuffed rolled chicken.
Mate, that's the best thing you'll have had.
Some monkfish and chorizo.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that. Big next couple of weeks for me, eating healthy.
Yeah.
Been appalling last month.
Got a bit loose of you.
Little boy's been ill with tonsillitis, been up in the night, and you just want comfort food.
Thing is, it's like being cocked over by... It's like being cocked over by a heating company, having a kid that's ill. It's the most agonising thing you can imagine, but no one cares.
No one does.
No one cares.
Do you remember my treat for my birthday? What did I say was the treat I had for my birthday?
Was it 6 weeks away on your own?
Yeah, that would be nice.
6 weeks in Dubai? No, what was it?
Remember I had Five Guys?
Oh, yeah.
And a burger? Had that yesterday. It's delicious.
Was it?
Yeah. And I ordered double patty. Actually made it real difficult. But I didn't have chips, all right? I'm not an animal.
Apparently, the Five Guys cheesy chips, or something like that, are 1,600 calories a portion.
Oh, I bet they are.
So you, if you're trying to like reduce fat, you're probably looking at 2,000 calories a day, mate.
I didn't eat, probably a little bit more than 2,000. I reckon about 2,500 and I'll lose weight because I train a lot. I train hard. I go to the well.
Did you watch SES Who Dares Wins last night?
No, I didn't.
Fella, right.
I'll tell you why.
Go on, quickly. Then. Sick kid.
He's all right now. He's a lot better. Golf, yeah. I was watching, The Mayor of Eastwood or Eastbrook.
Good, innit?
Very good. How good is Kate Winslet as an actress?
I love her.
Is it actress or actor? I don't know. Does it matter?
Just say actor.
Okay, actor. She is brilliant.
Yep.
Loving it at the moment.
She's fantastic.
Mm. Anyway, that's the reason why I didn't watch it, but it's recorded.
She is fantastic, yeah. Mm. Basically, I'm not going to ruin it for you. No, I don't want to say it now, but there are basically two. There are two people. You know, when you start watching it straight away, here are the recruits.
Yeah.
I was sitting there and I was like, bang, at a telly, bang, they won't make it, bang, they will not make it past day one. That one and that one will not make it past day one.
Yeah.
And I was told, I said, why not? I was like, why not, my girlfriend? I said, I'll tell you now, if you spend... that much time, and I if you spend that much time looking, thinking about your appearance,
yeah,
I understand that appearance is more important and less important to some than others, and that is absolutely fine. So it's not a criticism if people spend that much time looking at their appearance, but if you're going to get somewhere on this course, that needs to be secondary. Like, yeah. That needs to be behind grit and just getting through it. You have spent way too much time thinking about what you're going to look like on telly.
It's a bloody school run, not Milan.
Yeah, so I was like, they're not going to make it. And bang, bang, day one, out. Exercise one, out.
Okay.
And I was right. I was bloody right.
Any nude shots, male or female? Because I know you get that sometimes when they take all their clothes off.
They had one changing shot, and he did. I was like, I paused it, and nothing. I mean, there's a couple of little, nothing really. I was like, gutted.
Is there anyone on the course that trains really hard in CrossFit?
Not yet.
That was my favourite. One of my favourite episodes.
I thought about, as soon as Matt Middleton said, God, I thought about that.
Remember a couple of years ago, there was a lady and she's gone on about how she trains really hard at CrossFit, really wants to push herself.
Yeah.
And Matt Middleton just wrecks her. Is this a British one they're doing now, or is it an Australian one or what?
No, it's British. Okay. Apparently it's the last one that Matt Middleton's in, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised he's gone because he's quite an outspoken figure. Maybe he's gone of his own volition. I don't know why, but whatever. I don't know if Channel 4.
He's probably the David Flatman of the military world, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you're the Ant Middleton of the rugby world.
Obnoxious COVID denier. Yeah, that's what. I mean, would I say that to his face? Yes, as long as it was on Zoom.
Two jab David. Well done. You've had them both.
Two blooming jabs. Yeah.
Which one did you have?
AstraZeneca.
AZ. Knew it.
I'm on the AZ train.
Did you get any symptoms after?
Nope.
I had a headache for one day, that was it.
Did you?
Yeah, like I've been on the white wine.
Yeah.
You know, when you wake up and you're a bit like,
yeah, I read you. No, I'm all right, I'm immortal now, can't get anything.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, fella, don't know if you noticed, but Gat has announced the Lions squad, and everyone has spoken about this for 12 hours each.
Okay,
so we probably don't need to keep our beloved listeners for the next hour talking about the Lions, but there are a few key points. There are a lot of questions have come in, so we'll answer some of those, and there are a few key points. And the first two words I'm going to say to you are Bundy and Aki.
I'm going to say a few words. String out a little bit longer when you're announcing the squad, why don't you?
Oh, mate. I know.
Every single person watching that, fan, family, player, you just, all you're thinking is get on with it. I was doing something with Jim Goodian and Steve Ferris, so we were just chatting through potential selections. But yeah, Bundy Aki, mate. Did not see that coming.
Did no see that coming.
I didn't actually see Elliot Daly either involved. But I can see why now, if that makes sense. Because
we'll make it make sense.
You lose someone like George North, who can play centre and wing. There's not many other players in the world that can play centre and wing competently.
Level, yeah.
There's a lot that play wing of 15, but for those two. So to have an all-rounder like Daly that can cover all positions, and he is a quality player, he just had a poor Six Nations for him, I think. You watch, I know it's 4 years ago, but class is permanent. His footwork for the Sean O'Brien try.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Mate, that little in and out, It's beautiful. But he can feature anywhere. So versatility is absolutely key in lads. Okay. But yeah, Bundiaki, didn't see it. Didn't see it at all. When you think of Henshaw and Ringrose with a incumbent partnership in Oireland. But I just think if they couldn't take Manu Tuilagi, if they needed some sort of bulldozer in the centre, and to lose George North, they need someone that can just give them pretty much guaranteed front foot. He's the only one there.
But what about picking Manu, and then if he doesn't make it, bring Bundiaki?
Yeah, maybe, but one's fit, the other isn't. I think that's what counted against Josh Navidi as well, potentially, of going, you know, he's not fit at the moment. Others are. But I think with the forwards, Flash, I don't know whether you agree, there was, you know, Carl Sinclair's out. A lot of players weren't selected, Underhill, players like that. But the quality they're being replaced with is still unbelievable.
Yeah.
I just think we look pretty strong in the forwards. Like, there's a few in there. Conan, I didn't see initially of being selected. I think we all hoped, as rugby fans, Sam Simmons would be.
I actually had Conan in my squad.
Did you?
Yep.
Oh, well done.
Cheers.
Johnny Hill, possibly another.
Didn't see that coming. But no. And a lot of people disagree with that. But I think Johnny Hill's great.
James Ryan, not slip. So, but quality for quality. But I just think we look slightly weaker in the backs.
Yep.
I'm glad you got the Finn Russell, Dan Bigger combination, or Owen Farrell, because I think if you went down the lines of Owen Farrell, Dan Bigger, Johnny Sexton, all pretty similar, aren't they?
Yep.
In the way they attack. Sexton, not that durable. You know, it's not just about getting yourself ready for tests. You actually got to play in the week as well.
And hasn't played three consecutive games since 2018.
Good stat.
Thank you.
But Finn Russell gives you that point of difference, I think, which is good as well.
I heard it was Finn Russell guaranteed, and then it was either or with Bigger or Sexton.
I don't know. I think Bigger's probably going in as number one. Scrum halves as well.
No, I think Bigger is now. I agree he would be, but I think it was like, right, our number one is either Finn Russell's our guaranteed backup.
Okay.
Our number one is either going to be Bigger or Sexton.
Because you're going to have a difference in the start of 10. Yeah. Gath Davis. I thought maybe Thomas Williams might have got the nod.
Gath Davis in my squad.
But Gath Davis, Price. And Conor Murray was pretty much definite.
So many nines that could go on that trip, fella. There's loads of nines. Like, I was at the Stoop yesterday and watched Quins against Wasp. Oh, my God. Even Danny Kerr, we interviewed him after the game, and he said, how has Dan Robson not got man of the match? He was unbelievable today. He's like, I was awful. He was unbelievable.
Let's get into a bit of this now, then. We've touched on Alliance. Probably don't need to go any further. Get behind them. It's going to be a wonderful tour. Cannot wait.
Well, I think it'd be wonderful for us watching on telly. I think it might not be the funnest tour to be a player because you can't go do anything. Anyway,
don't know, mate. Like, it's still a Lions tour. You're still part of history.
Oh, God, yeah. You're still
a Lion.
Won't be quite the crack, you know.
Excuse me. Yesterday. Brilliant game. Love watching it. Quins lose Mike Brown. We have to speak about that.
Yep.
Is that going to be the last time he plays for Quins?
I think, yeah, probably.
I think he knows exactly what he's doing there.
I disagree.
No. That's a stamp down, mate. That's not even like trying to step backwards.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I think if he stamps on a shoulder or an arm, that's petulant and stupid. I don't think he's aiming for a head.
Well, shoulder or arm, mate. Shoulders near the head.
He's not aiming for a head, is what I mean.
Don't know, mate. I don't know. He's aimed to stamp, and he knows exactly where the head is. He knows where the player is. He knows that's the top end. Can't condone that. I know you can't either, but I think you take a risk of trying to stamp on someone's shoulder. Yeah, it's petulant, but the head is so close to the area that he might be trying to stamp on.
I think he's being petulant, and bear in mind, I know he's Mr. Angry. His disciplinary record is unbelievably good. So I think that's not someone who traditionally actually cheap shots people. I think he just doesn't. He's hardly ever been sent off. So the disciplinary record is amazing because he's played that many games.
Can't take that into account, I don't think.
No, you can't. But what I mean is he doesn't have a history of doing stupid stuff like that and cheap shotting people. He is angry, but he's not a cheap shot. So I think he's being petulant, and unfortunately for everyone involved, he actually stamps on his head.
Ted Bundy didn't have a history of murdering people when he was growing up. Let's let him out.
What game though, boy? Oh my God, Marcus Smith.
Mm.
Oh my days! When Sale played on Friday night and beat Leicester, I got about. I say loads.
How intense was that game?
I got about. It was so aggressive. Faf de Klerk was so aggressive.
Like, all of it though.
Yeah.
All of it.
It was great. And
shot after shot after shot.
Yeah, it was mega. And those South African boys that play for both sides, oh mate, they're
just
big old. Like, I remember Steve Diamond, I think, I'm going to be misquoting him here. So you get a couple of South African lads in and you just get a consistent level of performance. They just thump people every week. And you get those Dupria boys and Cobus Visa, man, and Jasper Visa. Mate, they're just mutes. Like,
they do.
They just mute people. But I got a load of Sale fans after the game, a load, about eight or six or four, saying, bet you still don't pick AJ McGinty in your team of the week. But you still don't put your team of the week. You hate Sale. I don't hate Sale, mate. He was in the team until I got to the stoop. And if anyone thinks Marcus Smith isn't the best fly-half in the Prem this weekend, they are fully insane.
Do you think Eddie now is going to select him for England?
You can't not.
Simmons.
I know, but he had Billy. Who's he got? I mean, George Ford, I still think starts. But I think Marcus Smith, as the other fly half in the England squad this summer, I think there is no way.
I think I think Eddie Jones has been good in blooding new players and not bringing them in straight away. You look at like the Itojis, the Currys, the Underhills. I think he's taken his time with them to make them comfortable. I think similar to Wayne Pivak with Lewis Rees-Zammit, you know, just didn't chuck him in straight away. Knew that he was going to feature and be one of the superstars of Wales, but gave him a little bit of time and gradually brought him in. But with Marcus Smith, mate, he just looks like something on the shelf that is ready to eat.
Yeah.
You don't even have to heat it up.
Yeah, he is. Oh, man, he's good. Like him and Robson yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, my days.
Robson is so good because there aren't many teams, and we've said this a few times on the podcast, where they use nine as a playmaker. Often the nine is just delivering it off the back and then, you know, your 10 is the playmaker, decision maker, but they run so many plays off nine. So Robson comes round because he's so sharp and so fast. He gets round and gets on the outside and then, you know, he picks the passes out. But how well did Quinns finish? Loads of good stuff about that game. You know, you thought Wasps were easily going to have enough, especially down to 40 men against Quinns.
Yep.
You know, I thought they were going to run away with it. Yep. But they didn't. Quinns were really good over the ball. Just little things like Marcus Smith put Don Brown through the middle, running out of their own 22. You know, there's no way that should happen.
No look pass.
No look
Man
pass.
Down.
Man down.
I mean, defence was optional for both teams. I mean, there's very, very little defence. Actually, Malachi Fekitoa put a few good shots on, to be fair. He played really well, but it just neither team defended well at all.
It all came from Will Rowlands. Just, he looked like he was absolutely knackered and couldn't roll out the way. It was such a clear penalty. I mentioned this on comms on the weekend. Tackle technique is so important now, you know, because of penalties of not rolling away.
Mm.
Like, you know, if you've got a big player running at you and you want to soak him up and fall backwards with him, chances are that's going to be a penalty because you're not going to be able to get out of the way. So tackle technique is so important. You know, you tackle low, you can move out of the way quickly. If you tackle high and it's a soak up tackle,
high and passive,
you're going to get taken back. You're going to be on the wrong side, and it's easy. And players do it all the time now. It's easy to trap players in, pretending to try and push the ball back, but you pushed it into a player.
Yeah.
But what another game we saw was Gloucester versus
Northampton.
The first time I've seen the variation on the move where Atkinson puts it back inside.
Yeah.
Normally that move is Atkinson putting it behind the 13 to the 10, and then the 10 puts it back inside. But I think it's Ludlow just moves out the way slightly. Who is it? Carreras. It's just hiding behind Ludlow.
Yeah.
Is it Ludlow or Ludlam?
The Gloucester one is Ludlow.
Ludlow, yeah.
Yeah.
And Ludlow just moves out. Carreras comes in. It's a quality move.
Yeah. Because the pass to Lewis Rees-Zammit is good, but not amazing. Nope. It checks him. And then
see how he holds his left arm just to ride the tackle. Lewis Rees-Zammit catches the ball, but his left arm stays low then.
Yeah.
Just to try and brace himself for a cover tackle that's coming across.
But they don't get there because he's too quick.
He's too quick, but he's too powerful.
He's so fast. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I reckon Ben Stevenson at Newcastle might be as quick.
Really?
Yeah, or Adam Radwan. I think they might be as quick.
Radwan.
He is. Wagwan. But he is. That game's at Gloucester. Just Gloucester took Saints apart, really, and Saints' set piece has been really, really good for a while now, and it just absolutely fell apart. You lose Dan Bigger.
Yeah.
And you don't have James Grayson on the bench. You took the gamble and say, well, George Furbank can cover 10. He's got to then cover 10 for almost a whole game. And he's played well at 10 a couple of times this season, but he had a waking nightmare of a game. And he really, really did struggle. Nothing really went his way. And I wonder if next week, say Bigger was fit, wouldn't surprise me at all to see James Grayson on the bench.
Seems to be issues at Bath still. You can say there's issues, but they are playing against one of the best teams in the Northern Hemisphere, in Bristol Bears. Bath start well, but Bristol end up coming back and take them apart, basically. But I suppose the main story about that game was the Carl Sinclair interview after.
Mm.
Refreshingly honest, I thought.
Yep.
Found, you know, it seemed tough for him to actually get his words out.
Yep.
A lot of emotion there. Angry as well. And, you know, I know he was talking about a mental health, not society, but a mental health organisation that's helping him through it.
A mentor, didn't he? Yes. Yeah.
Which is great. So, nice interview. Nice interview. You don't often see them when it's pure emotion.
It's great. And he was, firstly, he was outstanding in the game.
But my point,
go on, sorry.
What I want to say to you is, though, do you think he was guaranteed a place in that tour? Because
did I think he was?
Guaranteed. Like, because that's the way he was talking. Now, Tadhg Furlong, I think we'd all agree, is probably the start in Tighthead.
Yep.
But was he... was he guaranteed?
Obviously wasn't.
Was he a cert?
For me, he was one. He was an absolute walk-in. No one coming close as second choice behind Tadhg Furlong, ahead of him. For me, I would have put.
Was that form shown in the Six Nations? Or
I think. Well, it's one of those things. I think. A couple of things. I think having John Arfoa anywhere is a blessing, socially or in terms of rugby. Having him there is a blessing at Bristol, but I wonder if the amount of game time he's got at Bristol versus what he would have got at Quinns may not have helped, but he's in a better team and all that. So I wonder if, oddly, perversely, having John Arfoa there and being so good means the game time is a thing. I think it probably isn't, because I don't think... His rugby is outstanding and...
Yeah.
A just outstanding rugby player, and that is what makes me think this cannot be a rugby decision. It has to be a human decision, a personal decision. And I know he got into trouble in...
4 years ago.
4 years ago and got into trouble in New Zealand. And maybe it's got something to do with that. And it's not so long ago that he was missing a game in the Six Nations for... Am I right here in saying swearing at a referee?
Yeah, didn't he swear at Carl Dixon?
It is, yes.
Yes.
So he's, you know, so...
But some that he knew, though, I think, from...
Yeah, so I think it has to be a personality thing, as brutal as that is. I think it... Because it can't be rugby. It can't be rugby. It can't be, because his rugby is immense. Immense. And so I think it, for me, that stuff we don't quite know about. We don't know what Warren Gatland's thinking. But for me, in rugby terms, he was an absolute cert.
Do you think that Gatland not having an English coach on his team would be a factor in it? Because Gregor Townsend is in there. Rob McBride is in there, Neil Jenkins is in there, Steve Tandy is in there. And sometimes you've got an argument for and you need an argument against.
Yeah.
And there's 8 Scots in there, which is more, I think, than we've seen for a long time. They finished 4th in the Six Nations still. It wasn't as if they finished top, but we got 8 in there. Do you think it's an issue that, because a lot of English coaches turned down the position... that there was no one really fighting the corner?
I think what these coaches will want more than anything is to win the series. So Gregor Townsend wants the best tight head props to give his fly halves the best ball. So he wants to win first.
But he's going
to
know more about his players than other players.
Yeah, exactly it. I mean, equally, there's what can Steve Tandy or Gregor Townsend, what can they do in terms of sticking up for Carl Sinclair if Warren Gatland doesn't want to pick him?
All they've
got is video footage. They don't know the guy as well as an England coach would. So absolutely that's a thing. Equally, plenty of Lions tours have had England coaches on there giving the England lads, you know, support they might not, you know, over, you know, sort of underrepresented Scots or whatever on the coaching panel. So there's always that.
Yeah.
There's always that. For me, in pure rugby terms, that's the biggest, that's the most surprising omission is Kyle Sinclair, because he is that good. Interestingly, I mean, there's all sorts of furore around it, and this is a sort of comment that we don't have to make on this podcast because we're not breaking news on it but or anything like that. But it
don't get emotional on me.
No, I'm not emotional. All but right. It's
I see it in your eyes.
I love Carl's interview; it's great. And then a headline that the rugby paper put out was highlighted on Twitter, and quite a lot of people have, you know, and completely understandably, this is not me saying anyone's right or wrong. It's just a view of hammered this headline, and I think, for me. It just feels like a legitimate headline. It feels legitimate to me, and I am ready to be educated on that. I'm not angry that other people think it isn't. I'm not annoyed or peed off or nothing like that. It's just that I think Kyle Sinclair was talking about his non-selection for the Lions, and he said he had so much anger in him.
Yes.
And there were other things they could have taken from that interview. Sinclair incredibly upset.
Doesn't
Sinclair
sell papers, emotional. Though, mate.
But I just feel like, and I know that, the bad news sales thing. I think Nick Mullin said the bad news sales thing is it's just bloody grim. It's just grim, and I don't like it. However, I feel like can you really hammer a sub-editor or whatever, or some, I don't know, whoever it is who's made that headline up, can you really publicly hammer them for what is editorially a legitimate, it's not something he didn't say.
Yeah.
It's something he said, and they put Lions in there to contextualize it. Why is he angry?
Yeah, but it's not the first time it's happened. It happens every single time you do an interview.
But I think it's a great interview. I love the bloke. I love the player. I think he's bloody great.
Sarah did great, I think, interviewing him as well.
She's class, yeah. Yep. She's absolutely class. And what people underestimate how hard a job that is when you've got two or three questions to get that much out of somebody is wonderful stuff. But
yeah,
I feel.
But
like,
he wanted to give it, mind.
Yeah, I feel like that is. I don't agree with the hammering of this sub-editor who's made that headline up. I think it was legitimate because of the interview, what he said in the interview.
Okay. Did you know that Glenn Delaney has left his post as director of rugby at the Scarlets?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. So he was appointed as director of rugby 3 weeks ago when news arose that Dwayne Peel had turned down the job
at right.
Cardiff Blues and was moving across as head coach to the Scarlets. Glenn Delaney was then appointed director of rugby. Complete mess. I don't know what's going on. 3 weeks later, he's now left the position.
Oh, right.
I think...
Jeez, he's a good fella, Glenn Delaney.
He's a brilliant bloke.
Oh, great fella.
He's in charge of defence, and that's been a massive issue for him. 3 games this year. Teams have put 50 points on him.
Yeah.
Dragons put 50 points on him a couple of weeks ago. I know it's the Rainbow Cup, and I know...
Quinn's conceded 46 yesterday.
Yeah.
Happens.
Yeah, it does happen. It does happen, but it shouldn't happen that much. I don't think. Not 50. But still, though.
I think it might be one of those things where...
So it's a great game.
He's, inverted commas, promoted to director of rugby. Peely's brought in as head coach, but actually they say, right, Glenn, you're director of rugby, but you're not picking the team and you're not running the pattern.
Well, I think that's going to be the issue because they're spending a lot of money. Big news that Dwayne Peel's coming back home. Mm-hmm. And... if he's coming back home as head coach, you want him to be able to pick the players to implement the style of play that he wants.
Well, you want to, unless you're director of rugby, then yes. You don't want him to.
No. Yeah. So it's turned out very messy all over Welsh rugby, really, with the Blues and Scarlets. You know, Matt Sherritt, who is at Worcester, is now coming back to the Blues.
Right.
So.
Jeepers.
Yeah. Quite incestuous, if that's a term I can use.
Yeah, kind of the little ring of names that goes around. It's
But they're obviously good coaches if you want them back, because you know if someone's poor, you let them go. We've seen plenty of head coaches like that and never come back. But so they're obviously rated.
I hope he's all right, old Glenn. He's
I hope so as well. But defence has been a massive issue for Scarlets, and also like I look at some of the players like Reece Patch hasn't played for a long time because of head issues. Johnny Williams, who's looked so promising, hasn't really featured much at all.
Yeah.
John Davis was good at the weekend, though, mate.
So was he?
Yeah, and so was Kieran Hardy, Potts King. And John Davis, yeah, he set up a lovely try. All played right, so 12.
Got Gould willing, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
A midfielder, let's not say names because we don't want to tempt fate, twist their ankle in South Africa.
What? Okay, what, 12, 13?
13.
Okay.
And you've got Ringrose, Slade, John Davis, Manu, fit.
Yeah.
Pick one. I know I'm picking.
I'd probably go Manu. If he's played rugby.
Knew you'd say that.
If he's played rugby. Because I think if you had...
Hedgehog can play 13, can't he?
He can. He can play 12 as well. I think with Manu at 13 and he's fit, he's got a bit more space. You can... He can use his strength to bounce off players that are trying to take him on the drift. He can step inside. He can hold players up. At 12, he just sometimes has to carry into heavy traffic where you're not going to get the best of him. I always think him at 13, because he's quick enough, just looks dangerous. And I think if you play like Henshaw at 12 or Farrell at 12, I think that's a great combination. I just think out of all of the players on his day, sometimes Manu is just unplayable.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, okay, boy.
That's what I'm
okay with that. No, I'm okay with that, fella.
Right. So,
what other games do you want to talk about? The Bath game, the Bath-Bristol game was interesting, actually, because Bath kind of flew out to a lead, and it felt like a bit of a false lead. Oddly, even at 12-15-0, whatever it was, it never quite felt like Bristol weren't going to have, you know, create a storm of their own at some point. But like Anthony Watson's try was nicely finished but gifted. Rhys Preason's interception, that's not a gift. That's a good defensive read, getting in between.
Yeah.
You know, getting in between decoy runners and potential carries and all that, and the passer.
Every time you say decoy, I just think of people that just do nothing. You seen people just do nothing?
Yeah, I can't think of all the decoy things.
Decoy, he's a DJ, isn't he?
Oh, right.
He's the only one that drives.
Yeah. That is a great show. No, you're right. But Bristol ended up ripping into that and scoring 40 points. Weirdly, I didn't feel like Bath got smashed to bits. It was just what they had last season, Bath, that seemed to get them to the semi-final of the Prem, where they lost to Chiefs, was they had so much forward power that they kind of lived off the back of it. And then you wanted that to come back, but it's like then they started really, a few weeks ago, they started really attacking and throwing the ball around a couple of months ago in the Prem. Like, this is awesome, but you can't do that without the forward pack dominating.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just lateral and it's not really, the defence is never on its heels. And at the moment, they don't quite seem to have the attack nailed or the forward pack nailed. So last week it was their line-out that fell apart against Montpellier. This week it was their scrum that got battered by Carl Sinclair and his mates. And it's tough. You know, if you're in the back line behind a scrum that's struggling like that, it's tough. But then when Preason comes on and that crossfield kick for Watson did brilliantly in the air. He just looked class. But that is a quality kick, that. Very nice.
I didn't see the game at the weekend, the Bath game, but I've seen enough of them this year. They're so up and down, mate. It's like you're right in what you're saying. Sometimes there's really strong forward performances. You think, wow, this pack is absolutely dominating. And then other times, it's just not there.
Yeah.
Methinks there'll be some changes.
Well, the idea is, I think, that Cipriani comes along and just makes the place explode. And
yeah, but what is Cipriani? 33? 34?
Yeah, but he's a genius, mate.
Yeah. Recently married in a pair of trainers.
Good on him.
The boss. Right, let's get into some questions because I said on Twitter that we would name check people. So Rich wants to know, is Mark Atkinson the best uncapped centre in the Prem?
Ooh.
His game's come on so much, mate. Like, you look at him 4 or 5 years ago, he was good at trucking it up. He'd get his hands through the tackle, he'd offload, but now, you know, you're running moves off him. He's pulling the ball back. He's creating space. He's setting up tries. Love watching him play. Big lump.
Yeah, he's a quadruple threat. Does everything, doesn't he? Like him.
Yeah. Rob Sherrington. Do you think the selections in the centre suggest Farrell at 12 is nailed on to start? Not sure. Really not sure.
No, I think Robbie Henshaw's nailed on to start. I think Chris Harris will be 13 at the moment. I think Robbie Henshaw and I think Dan Bigger.
My only issue there is that you're limited in creativity. There's only one ball player, Dan Bigger. You know, I think if that's the case, then Stuart Hawk has to play 15.
But you're playing the box. How much creativity do you need? Well, you just sit and mute, don't you?
No, I think you
can play around them, do you?
I think so. Mm. Well, the selections would suggest that, especially in the back row. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think you've got to play against them. They wouldn't have played too much rugby either.
Back three is going to be interesting, boy.
Yeah.
Can you think about how much Faf de Klerk box kicks? You need wingers who are really good in the
Howell Davis, will he be able to get the ball to the wing for Lewis Zammit to show his flair for the Lions? I hope so. Again, that's why I think Farrell's so important. I think Farrell at 12
okay.
could be the right move. Okay. And that way you can get the ball to your wingers in space because you've got a competent creator at 10 and 12. It means you can play a little bit wider, but also there's so much kick chase now, isn't there? There's so much counter-attack.
Yeah.
Tom Partridge, he's always a big fan of this. Who's of the pod? Who's your favourite Darren in sport?
Anderton.
Goff. Bent.
Crompton, DC.
Yes.
Yep. Darren Crompton wants on a flight.
Oh, he's given us options. Anderton, Clark or Crompton.
Oh, yes. Oh, well done. Yeah. On a flight once with Darren Crompton, DC. This is
Played the blues for a bit.
Inappropriate, yeah. He got a bottle of like mineral water and he put it in his tracksuit, down the front of his tracksuit, so it looked like.
Yeah.
And he did that and he made it look like it was his willy.
Been there, done that. I'm not got the T-shirt.
Yeah. An Englishman in Cadiz.
Cadiz. Never heard of it. Can Quinns win the premiership after yesterday's performance? Oh, my days.
No, and it's not my words. The words of Danny Kerr. Can you win the title like that? He said, absolutely no way, mate. You've got to defend.
Richard Wright, we have discussed the rugby paper's headline regarding Carl Sinclair, so thank you for that.
Let's say, what does he say about it? Disguising journalism. He means disgusting, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's funny because here's the thing. That I was at the Stoop yesterday, as I said, and I was sitting with a production team in the little place where we watched the game, and our producer, who is brilliant and very, very bright, said, oh, it's interesting. This dirt is actually interesting, this point about the headline. I'm not sure about that. And actually, I wonder if that headline is so awful. I think it's legitimate. I wonder if it isn't legitimate. And I said, yeah, I think that's interesting. She said, yeah. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, oh, the headline, yes. Yeah, something along the lines of, yeah, it's disgusting, isn't it? I said, why is it disgusting? Well, talks about his anger. Yeah, but he never said that in the interview. Yeah, he did. This is exactly what he said. Have you seen the interview? No. Have you read the article? No. But they said he's angry about the line. No, but he said he was angry about not getting picked. He said he had some. Oh, right. So it's a weird thing. So she's really bright, really well informed, when it comes to rugby, like as easily as well informed as we are, boy.
Yeah.
And still, it reminded me of that the thing on Twitter now where you go to retweet an article and it says, do you want to read it first if you haven't read it? And it's like, just what people love to be outraged. So people like who have objected to that headline, absolutely fine. Like, I'm not saying I'm right or they're wrong at all. It's just, actually, if you're going to join in the outrage, why don't you just research it a bit? Some people will have, but there are lots of people who just pile in like that. Why is it a disgusting headline? Why is it disgusting? He said he was angry about it. I just don't agree, that's all.
I'm going to cheer you up now.
Yep.
David Buckingham.
Buckers.
Komodo Joe, Big Green Egg, or Weber Kettle with a slow and sear attachment?
It's Kamado Joe. A Komodo, as far as I'm aware, is a negligee.
Is it something you wear in Japan?
Yeah, something like that, isn't it? Kamado Joe.
All right.
I mean,
squeeze me.
I love him. I'm addicted to him. So I would say that I've had one for years. I love him. Don't go anywhere without him.
Okay. James SQ 2006. There is not a player in the British and Irish Isles who has performed better against New Zealand and SA in recent years than Sam Underhill. He will be staying at home. Discuss.
Hasn't. World Cup immense. I mean, the World Cup final wasn't great. World Cup immense. He's an immense man stopper. He's one of the best tacklers in the world, full stop, which is handy against players, teams like South Africa. But he hasn't been in amazing form. When he's been fit, his form's been fine.
Is he injured right now?
He's fit, but he's not. Okay. He's not playing every game. He doesn't. And Miles Reid and Josh Bayliss, the young guys at Bath, they are playing probably. I could get my facts wrong here. They're playing more rugby than him. And if Sam Underhill starts, he only plays 45, 55 minutes and gets subbed off for the young fellas. So he's not quite on top at the moment, is my guess.
Rory Edmonds, what shall I have for dinner? I'll tell you what, Rory, you should have some
red meat.
Have some lamb chops grilled on the barbie, right? Get a bit of mashed potato, make a gravy, put some mint sauce in the gravy and some onions, and then have some veg, some carrots, peas, broccoli on the side. Tip the gravy all over it.
Cover it in salt.
And just eat it with your hands.
That herb stuffed chicken you're getting.
Yep.
I had one the other week. Mate.
Rich.
So good.
Did you have a nice weekend end in Cheltenham?
Yeah.
Okay, well done. Oh, yeah. Theme night, wasn't it? Ryan Clark, will Cipriani have a positive impact for Bath?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, if the forward pack give him good ball, which they can when they're on it and everyone's fit and not suspended, they why not? He's one of the best ball playing.
How's he going to fit in culture wise? Because you hear a lot of rumours about he just takes over. Is that exactly what Bath needs? Someone to come in and give him a blueprint of how they should attack? Because he's been in the game a long time, and every team he's been at, their attack does look sharp. Not always, but you actually see a theme behind what they're trying to do. Or do you think it's going to be quite difficult to manage him?
I think he has been given a one-year contract for a reason. I think
short-term fix.
Short-term fix, help develop Orlando Bailey, try and create wins, try and create penetrative attack from somewhere, and if he goes really well, wouldn't surprise me at all to see his contract extended. But I think that the idea is that you don't let him get too comfortable, because his MO, this is what Lawrence Dallaglio said in the times when Cipriani left Gloucester, his MO is arrive, light the place up for a season, and then it kind of all falls apart and he seems to fall out with people. And
yeah,
you know, whether he thinks yes, that is right, that is what I do, or whether he thinks it's everyone else's fault and everyone else is talking balls or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that does seem to be the way it's gone, roughly. So I think Stuart Hooper has said, 1 year, genius fly half, let's have a go. And it's a bold decision.
I'm like that on a stag. Like, got all out first day, and a little bit quieter. Yeah. Like, on the pole.
Next night, you're smoke bombing at midnight.
I'm in Lineker's, like, on a pole. Next minute, then just sat down in the corner,
asleep like George Shute.
Merry old Tom. Does Sam Simmons' selection for the Lions make him more or less likely to get England caps under Eddie Jones?
More if he goes out and plays brilliantly.
Ben Smart, out of Umanga, Smith, Simmons, and Cipriani, who should go with England on tour this summer?
Smith.
Yep. Is it still a P38 if it has coil springs? That's Lewis Willing. What's a P38?
Range Rover. Right. And coil springs.
Not what P45 is. I've had enough.
Yeah. Been there.
Last one. Well, we've got loads, mate. What's your starting Lions back three for the first test? Adam Bennett. Oh,
boy.
Yeah.
Boy. Williams, Watson. Hogg. No, God. Adams. Oh, God. Aerials, everything. What about
Watson? I'm going Hogg at 15.
Hogg, Williams, Watson.
No Zammit,
no Adams. But Josh Adams could be in there easily.
I'm going Hogg, Watson, Zammit. All right.
I just, William Williams in the air, boy, those box kicks. Oof.
Yeah, but you've got to score tries, mate.
All right.
Okay.
You pick who you want, mate.
Last one then. All right. Oh, no, I can't have that one. It's too rude. Would you rather have nipple-sized penis or penis-sized nipple?
Very good. Very good.
I mean, go on, just if you just Phil, will I find one?
Who's Phil?
Okay.
Here we go. It's coming up. By the way, it's restart round. Was this round of the Premiership. Restart Rugby. Have a little Google of it. It's a charity that helps rugby types of their mental health, and all the players are wearing red t-shirts, restart t-shirts this weekend. Just do have a look because they do some really good stuff.
Lanky horse, low horse. Most unlucky player not to make the Lions.
Done that.
Ryan, Sinclair, Sexton or May?
Sinclair.
Okay.
James Ryan's close. Oof.
Yeah. Oh, right. There we are, mate.
All right. Hey.
That was it.
Well done today, boy.
That was it. Yeah. Bit of a nosy podcast.
But you're a nose.
Can't always be funny, can they?
Can't always be good, can they?
No. I can't always. Sometimes you need a 3 out of 10, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, rough and smooth. Look, good luck to your fella, okay?
If you want to see the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain.
Yeah. Well done, mate. Yeah. I enjoyed the pod. I thought it was nice. that guy is a guy circling around the car park in his red car. Mm. He circled around a couple of times, and the way he's driving is really annoying me because he circling around, couldn't pick his spot. When he finally picked it, he went diagonally across two spots, and I thought, you knob. And then he walked in and he turned around and thought, have I parked well enough? He saw his car and he saw where it was and just kept walking. Sorry, mate, no excuse. Not having you. We're not mates. All right.
Good way to end, mate. Well
cheers,
done.
Everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.